In the midst of the Civil War, a young man named Summerfield Hayes leaves his dear sister Sarah in Brooklyn to join the Union effort. And he does so not because of patriotism, but to cure himself of the sexual feelings he has for his sister. It's not long before he finds himself injured and abandoned by his brigade, stuck in a hospital and suspected of desertion, for which the punishment is death. That's the premise of Nostalgia, the new novel by Vermont author Dennis McFarland, who joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So can I ask you to start by reading a selection from Nostalgia?
Sure. Here is what he has never written to his sister in any letter, nor admitted in any form to anyone. In the months leading up to his enlistment, he had dreamed of her, and they were the wrong kind of dreams. He didn't so much fear his own snarled feelings as he feared what he imagined hers might be. His could be the dark secret he aged out of, or erased with experience and time, or carried with him, if necessary, to the grave. But should she return his feelings in this corrupted way, he could see nothing in their future but grief. She'd stayed tepid toward the attentions of no fewer than three of his clubmates. Now and again, alone with her and shaken to his toes, he thought he saw in her eyes the spark of an unspoken sentiment, affecting and regrettable. Surely, he thought, a war was strong enough a blast to put things right.
And so Summerfield Hayes, your protagonist in Nostalgia, goes off and joins the Union Army, where he makes some friends and ultimately ends up in a battle. And can you tell us what happened in his battle, for lack of a better word, adventures?
Yeah, that's his first experience of combat is in the Battle of the Wilderness, which was a particularly brutal battle of the Civil War. And it was a three-day battle in which something like 30,000 casualties happened. And it was particularly gruesome because it wasn't fought on a battlefield, but in a tangle of woods, a kind of Virginia jungle that made the fighting very, very difficult. At the end of a day of battle, for example, when they would stop fighting and lie down to rest, they were so close to the enemy that they could hear the conversations, just the other side of the trees. And during the battle, not only was there the forest to contend with, but also the woods filled with smoke and fire. And so his experience during those 3 days of battle were pretty horrific. I don't think anybody knows exactly why, you know, one soldier is affected in a certain way and while another soldier with exactly the same experience is not affected that way. But he was affected in a way that we would today call his suffering post-traumatic stress disorder.
Because he sees some terrible things. He sees his friends brutally killed, and he actually feels compelled at one point to obey the request of a soldier who is in extreme pain and dying and actually kill a fellow soldier. As a reader, you understand why he would have a hard time recovering from that.
Right. And also the terminology of these conditions seem to be changing. For example, I've heard recently people talking about no longer calling it post-traumatic stress disorder, but changing it to post-traumatic stress injury so that it emphasizes that the soldier, though he has an invisible injury, it is still an injury. He suffers, Summerfield Hayes also suffers loss of speech and temporary loss of hearing as well. And that's the sort of thing that is often associated with a shell exploding nearby, which did happen to him.
And which is possibly why the initial term for post-traumatic stress syndrome or injury or disorder used to be shell shock back in World War I. Am I correct?
Yeah. And then in World War II, I think they called it combat fatigue. It's been called a number of different things. And then we had something called Vietnam syndrome, right?
Mm-hmm.
So unfortunately, with each war, people often don't carry forward into the next war what they learned about this problem. And so with each war, it's as if they're starting over again, and as if it's a surprise that soldiers are made crazy by war.
And is that how you approach this book from the perspective of, I'm going to watch an innocent young man, a man who's psyche is relatively clean, to just being completely ruined by this traumatic experience?
My interest was in the soldiers that were coming back to our country from our contemporary wars in Afghanistan and Iraq with this particular problem. And I started reading up on it. And as I learned more about the history of it, I came across the detail in some of my reading that during the Civil War, these so-called, quote-unquote, crazy soldiers were sometimes abandoned on the battlefield and left to find their own way home. I was very moved by that, and I thought, perhaps what I should do if I want to write a novel that has this as a central concern, I should set it back in time, and then I would have the opportunity, perhaps, of saying something classical about the fact that this has always been with us, as opposed to it seeming like I was writing a novel on a topical issue.
It's timeless in that way, in the sense that it could be any war. Just change the technology and the same effect happens to the soldiers. In this case, Summerfield Hayes was left deep within the fog of war, very disoriented. He ends up in a hospital and he's so afraid that they're going to peg him as a deserter and kill him that he's at least partially willfully silent, though it's unclear how much control he has over his faculties. And one interesting thing about the hospital scene is that he's being tended to by Walt Whitman, the famous poet.
Yeah, I mean, that the moment that I learned that Walt Whitman would have been in that hospital was the moment when I felt like I had enough, you know, to begin writing the book. Because I had already decided to, you know, set it back in during the Civil War, and I was talking to my wife about it one day, and she said, well, you do know that Walt Whitman was a wound dresser in the military hospitals in Washington during the war. And I was really delighted to hear that because, as I said, that was sort of like the moment for me when I thought, if I can make Walt Whitman a central character in this novel, it's a novel I really want to write.
He does seem like the heart and soul of that hospital.
Yes, I think that's right. And I also think, upon reflection, that he is kind of the heart of my novel, too, because, you know, it is a book that has a lot of brutality in it. And somehow Whitman brings to the narrative a kind of goodwill and affection, makes it, I think, a more rounded book.
Summerfield Hayes' parents, before the book begins, both die in a tragic accident, and he and his sister's grief is really palpable. And you've dealt with grief before in other novels. I believe Singing Boy was the one that really dealt heavily with coping with tragedy. What is it about that theme that's so compelling to you?
It seems to me that I don't know anybody for whom being alive as a human being on planet Earth hasn't involved, you know, a measure of grief. And it's one of the hardest things, I think, for us to cope with. I mean, you know, obviously it's a spectrum, and some people have a great deal more than others, but I don't think anybody really escapes, do they?
I heard once that, you know, it's not something you get over, something traumatic or losing someone you love. It's something you learn to live with.
Yeah, I think that you do have to learn to live with loss. That's part of the human experience, too. And my response to time heals everything is it doesn't heal it so much as it dilutes it.
Hmm. I wanted to ask you about the title of the book, Nostalgia. It's boiled down to its Greek roots, and we tend to think of it as something like longing for the past, like, you know, these memories that we wish we could relive. But the Greek roots suggested something more like homesickness. How did you arrive at this title?
I just, you know, again, in my research, I discovered that nostalgia was one of the words that they used during the 19th century to describe the condition that today we would call PTSD. And because it had that sort of conflicting application with how we think of it today, I mean, we think of nostalgia as sort of, I mean, I think that there's something called nostalgia shops, you know, in other words, it's something sort of warm and cozy. I liked that this was a new interpretation or a new understanding of the word. And I liked that it had a sort of double entendre for me as a title because it is nostalgic that we are looking back 150 years, but it also connotes the, you know, the name of this medical condition.
And did you worry about putting a word like nostalgia on the cover of a book that features a battle scene?
I didn't until I saw it. but I thought it was brilliant of the jacket designer to put the kind of illustration on. It's a battle illustration. And I thought it was brilliant to do that because I think if you didn't have that with the word, that it would be misleading. And here I think that it's it kind of piques the interest. You see the title and then you see the illustration and you think, well, what could that mean? And then if you ask yourself that question, it's answered pretty quickly in the epigraph of the book, which shows the actual ancient Greek derivation of the word.
So ultimately, is this a sad story for you?
I think that it's a very sad story with a happy ending. In other words, a promising ending. You know, I started out as a writer writing short stories, and I still think this is quite a long story, but I still think of a story as a story. And one of the things that we're always trying to do is, when we write a story, is to have what's seen on the page imply a great deal of what came before, and at the end to have, you know, a sense of a great deal being implied of what's to come afterwards. And my sense at the end of this story is that they're going to be okay, that healing is going to be available to them and to both of them.
Dennis McFarland is the author of the new novel, Nostalgia. Dennis, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.